Comfort, and there is understanding, and there is knowledge, and there is discernment, Lord, when we choose to walk with you. Thank you, Lord, for that option this morning. Thank you, Lord, that we can get up here and we can sing, "Walk with me, Father," because of what you did on the cross. The veil was torn, Father, so that we could come in and have intimacy with you. Thank you, Jesus, that you now walk with us like you did in the Garden of Eden with Adam and Eve. We get to experience that amazing intimacy, Father, of walking hand in hand with you throughout our day. What a gift. What a gift, Father. Help us to remember that's a gift from you. Lord, whatever we brought into this place this morning, whatever doubt, whatever fear, whatever anxiety, whatever pain, whatever pressure, whatever it is that we have brought into this place this morning, in the name of Jesus, I just pray for a sweeping, like you would sweep your floor. Just sweep it on out of this place, Father, in the name of Jesus, so that we can experience your fullness in this house right now. Holy Spirit, come and do your thing as only you can do. We are here for you. We are here for you, Jesus. We are here for you. We want you. We desire you in this time, in this season. Lord, take out the cobwebs of our heart so we can feel your presence. We thank you for who you are. We thank you in advance for what you're going to do in this place this morning. Right now, I thank you in advance for the healing that's going to take place, not just physically, but spiritually and mentally here this morning. We thank you for the joy that's going to come back this morning for somebody that's been mourning. We thank you in advance for the garment of praise for that heavy heart here this morning. We thank you, Lord, in advance for releasing the prisoners this morning from their chains, from their cells, from their places of lockdown and lock up, Lord. We thank you that you are opening up the shafts and releasing us, Lord, like calves are being released from a stall, and we can experience healing in your wings because of it. Father, we give this time to you. We thank you for the beautiful worship that was given to us this morning. Thank you for Michelle and Tom, Lord. Blessings upon them, Lord. From head to toe, Lord Jesus, that they would go out and be blessed in the field, blessed in their house, blessed where they go, Lord Jesus, as you continue to use them, minister to them, fill them up for where they have poured out this morning. We ask all these things in your mighty name. The name higher than any other name. The name where you just shout out and every knee has to take a bow to that name, in heaven, on earth, and under the earth. The name that has authority when it is spoken. We thank you for all things. Amen. 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 Thank you, Jesus. Why don't y'all give them a clap? They were fantastic this morning. Great. Thank you. Thank you. It was so beautiful. Thank you, Tom. Tom, we always love it when you come. Yes. We're just so appreciative of y'all doing y'all's thing. We've missed Michelle this time around. I know she's busy bee, but we're so glad that she was able to make it to this last one. Does this look funny? Because I can't raise this. So does it look funny that it's short? Okay. And I don't have my glasses, but that's okay.
Does that look taller?
You know, I'm feeling like they're equal.
They're pretty close.
They're equal. So it's all good. It's all good. You can adjust it, but it's just not worth it right now. I just want to use this Holy Spirit oomph that I feel up here, and I want to use it to teach to you this morning.
I like your boots.
Thank you. These are Tom's. Tom's. Yeah, I think so. I don't remember. Thank you. Ladies, we're on our last one today. Yes, I know. It has been a great series, and I'm just so excited. Did y'all take a look out these windows this morning? This is the first Bible study where we have not had gloom and doom outside. We're literally the only time we've had sunshine, and I'm just so thankful that the Holy Spirit and the Lord worked together to make that happen this morning as we leave on a positive, sunshiny note. Amen?
Amen.
So today is a wholehearted woman in a half hearted world. We're going to end this with how do we walk this out on a day-to-day basis, this uphill season. You know, we live in a world right now more than ever that's divided. Has anyone picked up on that vibe?
Yeah.
Maybe just a little bit. We live in a divided world. And not only is it divided, but it's trying to teach us that divided is the new normal, that it's okay. It's the new normal. But we know according to Matthew 12 that the Bible says nothing divided, Jesus actually says, nothing divided can stand. So we need to do something about that. And it's not about our officials and our leaders and all that kind of stuff. Yes, we need to pray for them. We need to pray for God leaders. But I'm going to tell you where this all begins. It begins with the heart of people. The individual changes that happen in the hearts of people. That's where divided gets conquered. So how do we live wholehearted in such a divided place? It seems these days, I don't know if it's like, if y'all are kind of like me, but it seems this day that everything that's advertised is very much all out. Does anyone get that vibe? I don't know. I mean, I'm on Facebook, so sometimes I'll scroll through there and the ads, all the ads that have to do with anything is like all out. I mean, the women are like dripping with sweat. Yeah. I mean, come on. I'm not the only one that's like, oh my gosh, that's not my workout.
Right. Not my workout.
I'm like, I am not dripping with sweat like that after I do my little workout. So am I less than? You know, there's so much all out talk out there. Nutrition all out talk, which is fantastic. I'm all about nutrition and taking care of our temples because they're the body, you know, temple of the Holy Spirit. So I'm all over that. But there's so much all out talk out there. But what I've noticed, and I'm going to tell you, you can probably notice this too. If you went to all the gyms across San Antonio or anyways, and you looked in their little, like, where they keep all their information, and you see how many people signed up in January and how many people actually followed through to the other January. So there is so much all-out talk, but I don't see all-out walk. I'm missing that. You know, and I'm gonna say it. It's real, ladies. It's everywhere. It's even in Bible study. Oh. We have ladies that come for the first two and all of a sudden they're gone. Follow through is a tough thing, but it's a thing that is needed. We need understanding on follow through in our lives more than anything. We need to know not how to talk, because you can fool people with talk. Come on. You can fool people with the tongue like it's unreal. But let me tell you what, you can't fool people so much with a walk that's walking. Because you can memorize things, the devil himself can talk the Bible language. But you don't see him walking out the promises of God. Come on, I need a big amen. Come on. Amen. You know, as I thought about this in my own life, I thought, if there is one place I choose to go all out and to live wholehearted, I want it to be in my relationship with Jesus. Why? Because he's the one who fights for me. He's the one who sustains me. He's the one who strengthens me, heals me, numbers my days, talks to me, gives to me, corrects me, leads me, gives me understanding, gives me knowledge, gives me everything I need, gives me the breath in my lungs to breathe. Why not? No brainer. Why not give it all out for him? Why not? Why not? Then what's the point of coming here on Wednesday mornings and learning about him and wanting to know more about him and be in his presence and to take what you give it and pour it out to other people as you leave? What is the point of discipling if we ourselves are not going to follow through with what we've been taught? Jesus didn't die so we could talk a good talk. But I'm going to tell you, the veil was torn so that we could come in and walk the walk. Come on. And as I began to ask the Lord, oh, there's so many amazing women in the Bible to talk about. Wholehearted. Wonder which one he's going to pick, you know? As my example this morning, as our Bible reading this morning, who's he going to pick? Of course, he'll probably pick Esther. Esther is fantastic. There's a book written about her. You know, she just changed the whole course of Israel, God's people, by the choice that she made. Man, God's going to pick Esther because she lived wholeheartedly. Or maybe Ruth. Maybe Ruth, because Ruth has a book written about her too. She did something phenomenal. She was a foreign woman, went to a foreign country and started worshiping a foreign god to her. She went with faith. She's got to be wholehearted. That's the one that God wants me to talk about this morning. Or the woman at the well. Yeah. She had that time with Jesus. And then she went back to her people in the town. And the whole town was changed by her testimony and her word of mouth. Wow. Can you imagine? Like, you had this encounter with Jesus. And you run into your town. And you're like, and the whole town becomes saved. I mean, that's a crazy, awesome testimony right there. That's like, yeah. You know, that's almost as good as, you know, the ones where they've, you know, been prostituted out and on drugs and out in the street and laying dead, and the angel comes and snatches them up and they're fully restored. You know, those testimonies, those are really good too. No, God says, we're not going to talk about those women. We're not going to talk about the women who've had books written about them. We're not going to talk about the women that have done amazing things for my kingdom. No, there is someone that I want to talk about in which is not written about very much in the Bible. In fact, there's probably 20 total verses mentioned with her name. We're going to talk about her. Because why? Because in the Bible, in those specific scriptures, she is consistent with where she is at, and she is consistent in whom she is after. Come on, ladies. And her name is Mary Magdalene. Oh, I said it. Mary Magdalene. And as I studied her, which is fascinating, all the scriptures that are written, little scriptures here and there, little bitty ones here and there, talk a little bit about her life. I thought, wow, what an amazing pursuit she had after Jesus. An amazing pursuit. Because every one of the places where she's mentioned in the Bible, she is someplace with Jesus. Despite the circumstance, she is there pursuing him. And we're going to go through each one of those and talk about what it means to be a wholehearted woman in this time. Are you ready? Good, because I'm going there. I want you to turn to Luke chapter 8, 1 through 3. We're going to be bouncing on, over quite a bit in the verses, so I didn't put a main scripture down because we're going to be bouncing a little bit. So I need y'all to bounce this morning with me. Bounce, bounce, I need y'all to be ready to bounce with me, except for Carol. Carol, do not bounce. Carol's got a hurt back, I think, back there. So we just pray over her. Lord, the crooked places become straight right now in the name of Jesus. Luke chapter 8, verses 1 through 3. Are you ready? We're going to find out what the Lord is saying about this specific woman, why he called her wholehearted. What was her examples to us? Chapter 8, verse 1. After this, Jesus traveled about from one town and village to another, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom of God. The 12 were with him, and also some women who had been cured of evil spirits and diseases. Mary, called Magdalene, from whom 7 demons had come out, Joanna, the wife of Cusa, the manager of Herod's household, Susanna, and many others. These women were helping to support them out of their own means. First off, what is God trying to teach us from Mary Magdalene's example that she gives me? A wholehearted woman follows the ministry of Jesus. Basic. You want to live wholehearted in this world with your relationship with Jesus? You got to follow him first off. You got to look up his Twitter account. You got to find him on Instagram. You got to follow him. Follow his ministry. What is he doing? What is he saying? Where is he working? You want to learn more. You want to study more. You want to sit and listen to him more. Come on. We know that we can become like Martha's and do a bunch for Jesus, but we need to be a little bit more Mary in our lives and actually sit and listen to him. What is he doing? Where is he at? She wants to understand this Redeemer who set her free from her afflictions. She desires to have intimacy with him, to see him do things in others' lives. That speaks to me right now. She desires to see him do things in other people's lives. A wholehearted woman is not just about her. She wants to see God move in other women as well. She wants good for others as well. She wants others to be redeemed and restored, and her life and their lives to be changed, because she knows firsthand what it can do. She follows the ministry of Jesus. She desires it. Now, I noticed as I studied, the verses, I thought it was interesting that Mary, in every time that she is mentioned with others. Every time she's mentioned following Jesus, there's always a couple of other ladies that are mentioned alongside of her. She's never alone. There's one time where she's alone. But the rest of it is she's with people. And it made me think, wow, other like-minded women seeking the same thing as her. That's important to be wholehearted. Come on, ladies. We know what negative partnership, negative things in our life can bring us down and cause us to feel low. We know how important it is to have wholehearted companionship as we move close to Jesus. A wholehearted woman does not waste her time with people who point her away from God, but point her towards him. You want me to say that again? Okay, I will, because I really wanted to. A wholehearted woman doesn't waste her time with people who point her away from God, but towards him. And I'm not talking about being prideful or arrogant and saying, go, I'm a Christian, and you're not, so get away from me. That's not how we roll. We are to spread the love of Jesus. In fact, God himself came into the darkness when he came in Genesis 1 and said, let there be light. So we have to sometimes walk into a little bit of darkness to spread God's light. Come on. I'm talking about invested time with somebody that is taking you away from the ministry and the fellowship of Jesus. You know what that is. You know what invested time is. That can pull you down. You've got to create boundaries in places where you feel like, God, is this ministry? If this is a season, or is this something that is actually pulling me away from what it is you have for me? Talk to the Holy Spirit on those specific situations. Why was Mary so keen on making sure that she had wholehearted companionship with her? Well, the woman had 7 demons in her. So she pretty much knew what it was like to have bad companionship. Come on, I need a up in this house. She knew what bad companionship was. She knew what bad companionship did in her life. It did nothing but pull her back and pull her down and take her to places she didn't want to go. Hellish places. No, she understood it. That's why she made it a priority to seek the company of those seeking Jesus and bless him with whatever he was doing. Blessing the ministry of Jesus will come back and bless you. She knew the repercussions of bad influences, and she needed influence of a wholehearted woman. Wow. Psalms 1 says, "Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, or stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of mockers." That's Psalms 1. David knew how important godly companionship was in his life to live wholehearted. You know why? Because there's something about wholehearted companionship that will shape your daily devotion to God. You know how it is. You're going to have a kind of a rough day, and you're like, oh, you know, you're trying to do it on your own. Oh, God, I'm here. And then you get that call from that friend who's like, God is good. He's doing good things. He wants to move and he wants to shake things. And I just feel like I'm just supposed to pray for you. How much does that lift up your spirit? How much does that take you to a new place? And all of a sudden you find yourself singing and rejoicing on your way to work instead of, oh, it's Monday. Godly companionship pulls you up. Negative companionship pulls you down. We got to watch who we do the run around with. Let's look at Mark 15. Are you ready? So we're going to go back a chapter. Mark 15, 38. Let's see who can get there the fastest. We used to do that in a Sunday school class. Mm-hmm. Close your Bible. Okay, you ready? Matthew 1, 9. And you get like a piece of candy. That was like my favorite. Mark 15, 38 through 41. Okay, here we go. The curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. And when the centurion who stood there in front of Jesus heard the cry and saw how he died, he said, "Surely this man was the Son of God." Some women were watching from a distance. Oh! Some women again. Let's find out who it was. Among them were Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James the younger, and of Joseph, and Salome. In Galilee, these women had followed him and cared for his needs. Mary and many other women who had come up with him to Jerusalem were also there. So here we have all these women. Where are they actually at? What's happening here? I gave y'all a verse before, so y'all kind of had an idea. They're at the crucifixion. They're at the cross. These women are here. Oh, what does this tell us about a wholehearted woman? Well, let me see. A wholehearted woman is not moved by temporary suffering. Amen. She's not moved by temporary suffering. She is faithful to God, to Jesus, even though it's in an uncomfortable place. This is a tough one, ladies, because when we're faced with adversity, we want to just throw the towel and give up, double over in fear and doubt, run to this person, run to that person, run to this bar, run to this credit card, run to this man, whatever it is that can fulfill me and help me. But this shows us that if you want to live wholeheartedly, you are not moved by temporary pain. Why was she not moved by temporary pain? Maybe because she herself had felt what pain felt like, and she knew how important companionship was in those times of pain. And she said, "God, you stood by me when I was in pain. I'm going to stand by you." A little bit of a personal testimony. There was a season in my life where I experienced quite a bit of suffering. Kind of laugh at it now, you know, because, I mean, at the time it was like, suffer. I mean, it was suffering. And I look back, I mean, and it, you know, it was not fun at all. But God did so much through that season that I look back on it now with a little bit of a smile and a glad heart, because I would not be doing what I'm doing today or be the woman that God has called me to be if I had not walked through the temporary suffering that I had gone through. But at the time, I will say it was pretty dark days, pretty dark days. And I remember in this dark place thinking, I just don't think I want to live. This is not fun. This is horrible. This is not good. I need a change. Something needs to happen here. And I kept going back to Jesus. It was like I couldn't escape him. I had to completely depend on him for every single breath. At that time, I knew that he was going to bring me through this season. I knew that he was going to get me. He was going to bring me through, and there was going to be something good on the other side. But I had to cling to him during that season. There was nothing else that was going to bring me through. It was going to be him. And the reason why I knew this is because I knew that he had already paid the price for my suffering on the cross. And he had resurrection power, and he lived in me. Therefore, I know I will experience resurrection power. I will come out of this grave, and it will be triumphant, and the birds will sing, and the sun will shine, and they will say Hosanna, and I will lift my hands, because greater is he that is within me than he that is in the world. I knew his redeeming power was in me. And that there was going to be a risen and a rising up that was on its way. I want you to notice something about Mary. Have you noticed this? Every time that she is mentioned in the Bible, there's an attachment to her name. Have you noticed that? She's not Mary, you know, by herself. She is Mary Magdalene. And I thought, why is this attachment to her name? Because it's not like her last name. But let's go there right now. I want you to first realize that Magdalene is the place where Mary is from, okay? So they called her Mary Magdalene because Magdalene was where she was from. Now, Mary Magdalene was not her, as some people have thought, that she was a promiscuous prostitute woman. She was not. We have no proof of that in the Bible that she was. All we know that Jesus tells us is that she was, that seven demons were cast out of her, and that she was afflicted with a whole bunch of nasty stuff, and that she followed Jesus. But I want to point the picture on maybe why people get that maybe she was coming from promiscuous ways. Magdalene at the time, because we're going to talk a little bit about this city that she's from. Magdalene at the time, come on, go to Bible class with me. Come on, we're going to go to Bible class. Magdalene at the time was a very prosperous city. A prosperous city, rich city, industrial city, which made fine silks and fabrics. I'm going to say that again. A city that made Gucci and Versace. And it was very available to those who lived there. Now, women at that time who dressed in fine luxury clothing, fashionable clothing, perhaps were viewed as loose women because their fashionable clothing might have given or attracted attention, right? And most of the time, the women wore stuff that would not attract attention to them at all. But these women who wore the fancy stuff attract attention, which might have given other people that, well, look at what she's wearing. She just wants to score. Come on, I'm talking real language here. I don't believe the case with Mary Magdalene. I believe that she really just liked nice clothes and fashionable clothes. And so she wore them. So it made me think about why people view us based on perhaps where we came from, our past. Come on. And some people just can't let go of your Magdalene name. Some people just can't let go of where you came from. Because sometimes you might just resemble a little bit of where you came from, not because it was bad, but because there was a part of it that you embraced and enjoyed, and you enjoyed that part of it. But other people looked at it and said, it's all bad. Everything's bad. But what I love about Mary is that she is not moved by what people called her. She does not ever talk back and say, well, don't call me Mary Magdalene. I didn't do anything wrong. I didn't, you know, blah, 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 blah. No. She didn't waste her time with words. What she did use her time for is action. Don't look at my name, because that has nothing to do with me, really. It's just the way I like to dress. But do you see my action, where I'm consistently walking and whom I'm consistently after? She was determined to show people her action and her walk, not trying to create some kind of healing of why maybe her past was still associated with her. I want to encourage someone here this morning that seems like your last name has followed you around, and where you've came from has followed you around for a long time. Don't waste your time explaining why. Stop it. You're done. Freedom. Use your time to show people where you're going. I don't know if you follow me on Facebook, but that's why I put that post saying, your past is not your testimony, but what you do with your future is. It came from me studying this part of what God was about to say. What you do with your future is your testimony. It is your testimony. I get so frustrated when I don't understand why people give testimonies, and it's all about where they've come from, but they don't ever tell you where they're going. And you're like, that's just information. You know? Tell me where you're going. How are you going to use that? Don't be discouraged about your name, your past, or associations, because a wholehearted woman is seen by Jesus for who she is, not for where she has been. Your sin is removed as far as the east is from the west. Turn to John chapter 20. This is really exciting. I just ended by saying, a wholehearted woman is seen by Jesus for who she is, not for her past associations. Look at John chapter 20, verses 13 through 16. Are you ready? They asked her, woman, why are you crying? They have taken my Lord away, she said, and I don't know where they have put him. She's at the tomb, just so you know. At this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not realize that it was Jesus. Woman, he said, why are you crying? Who is it you are looking for? Thinking he was the gardener, she said, sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have put him, and I will get him. Jesus said to her, Mary. She turned toward him and cried out in Aramaic, Rabboni, which means teacher. Now, this is amazing. Jesus sees her, and what does he call her?
Woman.
No! Mary! He calls her Mary. He does not say Mary Magdalene. Notice that the writer of the book called her Mary Magdalene, but Jesus himself said Mary. Mary. He calls her for who she is. He does not call her based on her past. Now, I want to point something out to you. When Jesus speaks to you, he's not going to come to you and tell you all about your past wrongs. That's not him speaking to you. He will speak to you based on who you are and where you're going. He's not going to come up and bring up Magdalene in your life. He's going to say, Mary. He's going to call you for who you are and for where you're going. That's how you know it's the voice of the Lord. Anything other than that is a lie from the liar. To try to devalue you, change your identity, make you think less of yourself than what you really are. Because Jesus paid a big price for you. because you're worth it, because you are valued, because he does love you, and he has a lot in store for you. Why do you think the enemy attacks us so much? Because we have value within us, and he doesn't want that value to be seen by others. Okay, listen to Mary's response when he says, Mary, her eyes are opened. All of a sudden, she recognizes him. I love this. When he sees her for who she is, when people see you for who you are, not for where you came from, you awaken. You rise up. You begin to live in a new place. You see Jesus in a new way. Because this is her first time to see him in resurrection form. Wow. That's powerful stuff. That's powerful stuff. He says, Mary, her eyes are open. And she says, Rabboni. Mary. She says, Rabboni. She knows his voice. When she sees him, when she's open to him, when she's allowed him and he's seen him, she knows his voice. Come on, how many times do we cry out to hear the voice of the Lord? I want to hear you, Jesus. What does it sound like to have Jesus? I get that a lot. What does it sound like? What does Jesus sound like when he talks to you? You know? Well, it's a still small voice, just like how he talked to Elijah in the cave. It's not and thunder and lightning, you know? I mean, not for me. It's very still. It's small. And it's in a place usually where I'm vulnerable. That's when he does it. When I've allowed myself to be open to him. My sheep shall know my voice. Come on. My sheep shall know my voice. A wholehearted woman knows her master's voice. She knows it because she has stuck it out with him. She has walked through life with him. She's experienced some temporary suffering. She has studied his ministry. She knows his voice. She knows that his voice speaks unto her for who she is, not from her past. I love it. I get excited. I want to have a wholehearted life with the Lord. I want to hear his voice and recognize how he sees me. Not how the world sees me, but how he sees me and calls me for who I am and for where he's taking me. Turn to Mark chapter 15. I told you we'd be moving around. You got to lick your fingers. Mark chapter 15, please. Mark chapter 15, verses 46 and 47. So Joseph bought some linen cloth, took down the body, wrapped it in the linen, and placed it in a tomb cut out of a rock. Then he rolled a stone against the entrance of the tomb. Verse 47, look who's here. Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of Jesus, saw where he was laid. Come on. Mary Magdalene and one other woman was at the place where he was laid dead, buried. She is there. She sees him being buried. Now, what does this tell you about a wholehearted woman? Are you ready? A wholehearted woman doesn't stop seeking him even when things seem dead. A wholehearted woman doesn't stop seeking him even when things seem dead. Not living, not moving in your life. Everything is just still. She doesn't realize this. Mary doesn't realize this when the things aren't moving. But she has now positioned herself because of her faithfulness to seek him in every season of life. She has now positioned herself to see his resurrection power. I'm going to tell you something. If she was not there with him, seeing where he lay dead, she would not know where to be the morning when he rises from the dead. Come on, ladies. If she was not faithful in the dead season, then she can't know what to experience and where to go in the life season. Wow. She doesn't realize it. Ladies, we don't realize it. That when we're continuing to seek him, when things are not moving around like we'd like them to move and shake the way we like them to shake, when things just seem to be dormant in our life, she doesn't realize that she is actually positioning herself to see those things which are dead come to life. That's exciting. That's exciting. Because if you've ever been in a dead place in your life, if you've ever been in a place where you're like, this is dead. This marriage is dead. This relationship is dead. My finances, they're dead. In fact, there's a gravestone on them. And then all of a sudden, you don't realize it, but you're seeking the Father even in the dead place. And you're still seeking him, saying, God, I know you're not moving. You're not moving. Clearly, I can see you're not moving. But I'm still going to be here with you because I know that there is something bigger and greater coming. She has now positioned herself to know where resurrection power is going to come in her life. Don't despise the season of what seems like no hope, because your faithfulness in those seasons will allow you to see yourself have the resurrection power of Jesus in your life. Faithfulness leads to seeing those things which seem dead in your life come to life. Come on, that's treatable. Faithfulness leads to see those things which seem dead in your life come to life. Mary Magdalene was first to see, and may I say she was first to preach the resurrection of the Savior. Whoop, to my ladies. First to see, first to preach. First to see, first to preach the resurrection power of Jesus. Wow. It was not the leopard who came back to thank Jesus for healing him. No, 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 no. It was not. It was not Peter who walked on the water. No, 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 no. It was not the woman at the well. No. It was a woman labeled by her past associations. A woman that was labeled her whole life with where she had been, but was seen by Jesus as wholeheartedly devoted and to carry out and to walk the walk and to continue to do what she knew was right according to the ministry of Jesus. Yes, God gave it to her. He says, you, my child, you are going to be the one to first proclaim my resurrection power to others. Woo! I got goosebumps. She was not faithful on the mountain with the 5,000. That's not because she was faithful there. She was there. But that's not why Jesus gave her that opportunity. No, she was faithful with the 5 and the 2 and finally by herself. And God said, well done, good and faithful servant. You have lived wholeheartedly devoted to me. Wow, when you look at her story, her little verse here and her little verse here and her little verse here, it pulls together this amazing woman that teaches me how to live wholehearted in this half-divided, messed-up world. Despite the temporary setbacks, the really setups to carry the resurrection power of Jesus to others. I'm going to say that again because I thought that was quite powerful. They're not setbacks, guys. They're setups. So you can carry the resurrection power of your God to others. in your life. Wow. A wholehearted woman doesn't seek him because it is the right thing. Well, it's the right thing. It's the right thing to pray. It's the right thing to go to the church social. And it's the right thing not to sign up for the dessert, but the main dish, because that's more work for me to do. Come on. I think the same thing sometimes. No. A wholehearted woman doesn't seek him because it's the right thing. She seeks him because it's the only way to live. And she knows it. She knows it from her past. She knows it from her what she's experiencing in the now. And she knows it because she believes that there's something that God's going to do in the future. And she's got to stick around to see it. Come on. She's going to stick around to see what all this has been, because God's got something bigger in store for her. Oh, I love it. Mary proved right leadership by her actions, not by her talk. She is truly a wholehearted woman because she inspires me to pursue him on every level. And realizing that faithfulness in the everyday journey is what he delights in us. Father God, we thank you for this teaching. We thank you that you have taught us, Father, on being wholehearted when a world is so divided. You have taught us to really spend our time going all out in. You have taught us, Father, that there are seasons of life, yes, but there is a season of life where we will see your goodness in the land of the living. Father, help me not to remember that. Help me not to forget that when I am in the dead season or I am watching you on the cross suffering. Help me not to forget the resurrection at the tomb. Father, as we are even preparing this month for the celebration of what you've done, Lord, that we will remember what it is that you've truly done for us, Father. That resurrection life means that I can live wholeheartedly to you, and that I can walk with you, and that I can seek your presence. There is no veil there that keeps me from having this relationship with you. There is no wall there. There is nothing that can separate me from the love of Christ. Nothing, because of what you did on the cross for me. Thank you, Jesus, for this time. Thank you for this hour. Thank you for what it is that you have for these women as they go out now and take what they've learned here these last 6 weeks, and they go out and minister in situations that you give them, Lord Jesus, to others. Lord, that your kingdom come and your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Thank you for giving us today our daily bread. We receive it with joy. In Jesus' name, amen.